91.3, okay, we can't get hold of Gaza, but the 70th anniversary of the Nakba was celebrated yesterday. And of course, in Cape Town, there was a big, big march, and ANC politicians expressing their solidarity and saying that they stand firm on sending the ambassador home. But after waiting for seven decades, the Palestinians are no closer to any resolution of their scenario. In fact, Professor Edward Said says that Palestinians are in what he calls in Arabic a shatat, a scattering. He does not use the word diaspora. But online is Kamal Hawash, Palestinian activist based in the UK. Kamal, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a bit busy today. It's been a bit hectic with this whole scenario in Gaza and Nakba Day and the marches, but we'll get there. I think the question we need to ask, seven decades down the line, and yesterday was a very grey day, a very dark day, because we saw a U.S. embassy being opened in Jerusalem. Interestingly, very small countries attending it, some big countries absent, which was probably a good sign. And then, of course, we also had 61 people dying at the Gaza border and over 2,000 injured. So, wow, a lot to deal with.
Yes, indeed. I mean, the first thing, of course, is to think of those people who lost their lives at the Gaza border, simply for wanting to walk to their homes, the other side of this fictitious border, because actually Gaza is occupied, as is the West Bank, so an Israel is the occupying force with control over the whole of historic Palestine, so this is a fictitious border. And all they wanted to do was to walk home to their various villages and towns, which they should have been able to do 70 years ago. The reason they're unable to do that is because Israel won't let them. In the case of Gaza, 80% of the 2 million Palestinians who live in Gaza are refugees. So there are two points to make here. One, 80% of them should be going home. But secondly, Gaza's population would then be down to 400,000 people, and it wouldn't be the most crowded, the most intensely populated place on earth. So that would be the impact of the Palestinians being able to return. But what Israel has done is met them with lethal force, which is illegal under international law, unless the soldiers were in imminent threat. And there are no reports by anyone. There have been no injuries to any Israeli soldiers. So there has been no imminent threat. And so the killings were intentional, calculated, and unlawful. And these soldiers should be brought to justice for what they did. But also, right from the top, Israeli leaders should be prosecuted for war crimes, because, for example, the defense minister has said there are no innocent people in Gaza, including 8-month-old babies or boys or girls. So that's what's been happening, and it is, the reason for it is simply that the Palestinians have had 70 years of waiting to go home, and they haven't been allowed to, and they want to go home.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is not an unreasonable aspiration to want to go home. I don't think anybody would argue against that. How significant do you see it that not only South Africa, but a handful of countries have said, listen, we are withdrawing our ambassadors? That is, in a sense, quite a slap in the face for the Israeli authorities.
It is indeed, and we as Palestinians very much thank our brothers and sisters in South Africa for standing with us. How can you allow relations to be normal with a country that has acted in such an atrocious way? So yes, South Africa and Turkey are two countries that have recalled their ambassadors, but unfortunately the UK has not even called the Israeli ambassador in for a talking to. They have refused to condemn what Israel has done and simply expressed their sorrow at the loss of life, which is completely inadequate. So we would like to see more countries censure Israel for what it's done. And of course, we'd like to see an escalation of the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, which is a very lawful and moral movement to support the Palestinians in their quest to extract their rights out of this rogue state, this state that has exercised state terrorism against a helpless Palestinian people.
And when we look at the situation, do you think, judging by what we're witnessing, that there simply has to be a turning point? Because I think everybody's asking themselves, for how much longer can these absurdities and these outrages continue?
Indeed, and that is the question that the Palestinians ask us, as the diaspora Palestinians. You know, why is it that the governments in the countries where you live just will not get it? The British government in particular is heavily complicit in this, because not only was the Balfour Declaration issued from London, but the UK helped Israel to be established in reality and has protected it ever since. It refuses to censure it or to take any action whatsoever, whether it is to express not only its displeasure, but to say that since the settlement in the West Bank and East Jerusalem are illegal, there should be no trade with them. They continue to say we can't do that, and so we still have goods made in these illegal settlements coming to the UK on a daily basis. The turning point, I think, will come when we begin to change government policy in each of our countries, and when it is sustained. What's happened in Gaza has given us even more impetus to try and do that. It should be an easy task, because justice will come when the Palestinians are afforded their right. But unfortunately, there are still a number of Western governments, as was the case with apartheid South Africa, that support the regime and cannot see that they are on the wrong side of history. So we must continue our fight. We must continue to raise our voice for Palestine and Palestinians, because it would be a terrible thing for them to feel alone and let down.
Do you think that that Palestinians are no longer alone? Because if I would have been doing this interview 20 years ago, we would have had to have spent about 60% of our time contextualizing what we're talking about. We no longer have to do this. And even in Europe, Palestinian speakers are telling me it's becoming easier and easier to get the message across.
On the one hand, it is, but on the other hand, certainly in the UK, Israel has been campaigning and arguing within the friendly countries or countries with friendly governments that it shouldn't be criticized for what it does over and above what anyone else is criticized for. They are trying to conflate anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism, with criticism of Israel. They've worked to invent a definition of anti-Semitism, a new definition that includes reference to Israel. As soon as you go beyond saying that anti-Semitism is the hatred of Jews because they are Jews, and then you say, for example, if, and you bring Israel into the equation, it is clear what is being done. It is an attempt to smear people with anti-Semitism who are simply speaking out for Palestinians and criticizing Israel for its criminal policies. Anyone who says that what Israel did at the border was rightful because it was self-defense is saying basically that it's got carte blanche to do whatever it wants, because it could easily call any action an act of self-defense. There was no self-defense involved here. It was very much a case trying to create a climate of fear and terror in Gaza so that no more people will walk out to the border to protest.
Interesting points, and we've also been hearing people saying, yes, it's been driven by Hamas. They've been putting young people to the front. Meanwhile, if you look at the images, not one single flag of any political persuasion. The only flags we've seen at the Gazan border have been flags, and the people, as you know very well, have been gathering at the border. There has been very, very little provocation, if any, and unarmed protesters, unarmed civilians, have been killed by Israeli snipers. I think that's the truth of it, isn't it?
Well, that is exactly, the word is important, truth. What Israel has been peddling are lies, that Hamas has been manipulating these protests, which were initiated by Palestinian civil society. Of course, Hamas is rules the Gaza Strip, so it's not completely out of the equation, but it hasn't been directing what people do. And if anyone thinks the Palestinians are so gullible that they'll just listen to Hamas and walk to the border to be killed, then that is completely outrageous. They've been walking to the borders, as I said, to try and cross back into their homeland. And anyone who thinks, knowing that there is an international resolution in the United Nations 194, which says they have the right to return to their homeland, anyone who doesn't stand with them is standing against international law.
And, it does become, a difficult question to get back to the issue of you mentioned of people saying that if you criticize Israel politically, it becomes a question of being anti-Semitic, and some Zionists equating their belief with Zionism, and when it's pointed out to them that most people who criticize Israel make this division between Zionism, which is a secular political initiative, as opposed to Judaism, which is one of the holy faiths.
Indeed, and there are, as we know, many Jews who completely disagree and are anti-Zionist because they do not believe that the creation of a state for Jews should have come at the expense of a people. If Israel had been created in an empty land, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And as I've written in an article last year, had Balfour offered the Israelis Wales in the UK, which is part of the UK, and the Prime Minister at the time was Welsh, they could have offered it to the Zionist lobby, then Palestine would be an independent Arab free nation. So as Palestinians, our problem is with our occupier. If we were occupied by the Japanese or by the Mexicans, our problem would be with the Japanese or the Mexicans. Our problem is with our occupiers. And Israel says it is a Jewish state, speaks on behalf of Jews all over the world. We do our best to disassociate those who think like that from Jews everywhere. In the Palestine Solidarity Campaign here in the UK and in other organizations, Jews who work for the rights of Palestinians are in plentiful supply, and long may it continue, because they get it. They see that there's a difference between saying Jews must be safe wherever they are and for a state to be created on the land of another people, in order for those following this political ideology of Zionism to create a state for them.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's got beyond fascinating. In fact, it's a tragic question we're dealing with. That, Kamal, a final question. It's so sad that we have to conduct an interview like this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, providing we continue to work, I have every confidence that the Palestinians will be free, and I will be able to return to my homeland.
It's a matter of interest, Kamal. Where exactly in Palestine does your family come from? Where's your village? Just as a matter of interest.
I am very proud to say it isn't a village, it's Jerusalem itself.
My
family
comes
from the old city of Jerusalem. Both of my parents were born there. And as I say to everyone when I speak, at the end of my speeches, that my mother, who was born in Jerusalem, lives with me in Birmingham, and peace will come when she's able to go back and live in Jerusalem.
And Kamal, okay, I'm really splitting hairs now. Which street in Jerusalem? Many South Africans, many of our listeners know Jerusalem well. If you mention a street name, they'll know where your house is.
I think that because it was a big family, they lived in the old city, but also a number of them went out to live in what's called Wadi Jouz, which is not far from the walls of the old city.
Indeed, and as I say, just mentioning Wadi Jouz, old city, lots of Cape Townians are getting nostalgic in the sense that they can visit there. But Kamal Hawash, thanks for chatting to us. Everything of the best.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for having me.
News making headlines. The Ocean View man accused of raping and killing his 14-year-old cousin testified in his own defense in the Western Cape High Court, where he reiterated his claims that DNA evidence had to be planted at the crime scene to incriminate him. The organization undergoing tax abuse has commended Minister of Police Enterprises Praveen Gordhan for what it describes as a bold and courageous move in appointing a new interim board at state-owned Transnet. Meanwhile, a 31-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the murder of two taxi drivers in Delft last week. Two other drivers were also injured in the shootout during ongoing taxi violence. The violence is believed to be related to operating routes between rival taxi associations. That's your headlines. More news at 10.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Yeah, as I've said, moon conditions, 28 hours old, 70 minutes lag time. Lag time is the time after the sun sets and the time at which the moon sets in the skies after the sun. The skies have darkened. 28 hours is a fairly good time to see the moon, and how bright it is depends where it's positioned in the sky. But 28 hours, one normally gets a fairly good crescent. But inshallah, it's not for us to say and speculate here. The Crescent Observer Society will tell us. But I would say there's a very strong likelihood that tomorrow is Ramadan, inshallah, and we can even try and predict that Ramadan just might be 29 days this year, but you know, it's not in our hands. And Strand Beach Road has been closed between Kullenburg Street and Harlem Street due to road surface collapsing. Not surprised, because most of our beaches have been severely eroded around the Western Cape. Many people don't know that. Many people don't know that the Blouberg Shopping Center is going to end up in the ocean one of these days, because Blouberg Beach has actually disappeared. There's no more sand. And wherever you go, our coasts are being eroded. It's global warming, and it's absolutely stupid development by the city authorities, who don't realize the consequences of these developments. Marine Drive, Mullerton, bumper to bumper, Somerset West End 2, stationary vehicle before Victoria Street. Watch out for that. Metro fail, Southern Line, 30-minute delays. Platterkloof Road, Mullerton. Potsdam Road in Dunoon, there's a vehicle alight there near the Killarney Racetrack. Just be careful, there's going to be problems there. N1 outbound, an accident. Two lanes have been blocked. A crash before Yip de Yaga Avenue. Two lanes are closed. Queuing traffic from Monte Vista. So, oi, that's going to be a tough one. Montague Gardens, congestion because of what's happening in Killarney and down the line on the N1. N2 outbound, there's an oil spillage. Oh, boy. Not a good day for traffic, so pass with caution. M5, N2, Strand Road, we got that one already. Nelson Mandela Boulevard, Philip Kokozana Drive, everywhere. Bumper to bumper, and of course, those little accidents and trucks and sorts of stuff are going to make it a long drive. But buckle up, drive carefully. The good news is you will get there.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.